message. I want to go over a couple of observations that I've seen here of late that touched out there by Popeye's. There's people standing there on the screen on Main Street. Fine. There's an abortion clinic out there behind Popeye's, in case y'all didn't know. And I've seen them out there in the rain. I've seen them out there in the cold. I've seen them out there in the heat. Holding signs about abortion is wrong. Figures today that around 60 million children have been aborted. That's the population of the whole South now. From Texas all the way to Florida, including Georgia, and probably Tennessee and Kentucky. It's a wonder that we're still a nation. Old Testament, they used to take their children and set them on the statue so they were burnt and died for their gods. Did God make anything out of this one? If God money, greed, and selfishness, it is wrong. It is wrong. Not a woman's choice, it's a life. Your choice would be for the child will leave the seed. That's where your choice is. You can throw stones at me later, that's alright, it'll be the first time. But like I said, I've seen those people stand there in the rain. You all hear that? They're looking for volunteers all the time, for an hour at a time, staying out there. The time I go by, I either honk the horn, wave at them, or something, to let them know you can most try it. Second off, you see all the political signs out there. If you have not voted, you need to vote. I don't know what your political persuasion is. Doesn't matter. You can pray to the Lord and go for a vote. It's your civic duty, one. And two, because this nation is the way it is, it's because the church has sat back on our backsides for way too long and allow the nation to go the way it's going. If the church rises up and says, that's it, it stops.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
That's right.
It stops. But we'd rather hunker down in our little bunkers on Sunday morning, sing our little songs to God, come out an hour later, pat ourselves on the back, and do the right thing. That's wrong. God didn't tell us to be stupid. He said, be wise.
Amen.
Even Stevie Wonder could see what's going on. The prayer word wrote, last week I told you, I started off with, if you knew when you were going to die, the day that you were going to die, would you change anything? And I also told you, I can ask you two questions to tell you when you die. Exactly. And I had pretty much similar look back then, like, what? You died the day that you gave your life to Christ. When you willingly gave yourself to Christ, the day that you died. And the evidence of it was the day that you were baptized. Sometimes in the same day, sometimes a little bit further apart. But the day that you gave your life to Christ is the day that you died. The old man is dead. We don't own shovels to go out and dig them up. We don't have the right to go out and dig them up. I guarantee you, right on, that if y'all knew me back then, y'all wouldn't want to be anything like me around you. The old man would drink to the blackout. The old man would fight and drop a beer. Someone said wrong. We'd come back from the field and a different battery was in our bar. They played a song, voice back it down, and it was on. That man's dead.
Amen.
I don't even like going near graveyards. I'm afraid that man's going to come out and grab you. That man died a long time ago. Now, the spirit may be alive. But I know how to deal with spirits too. I can rebuke the spirit. Why? Because I have the living force. I have the life force in me. The one who gave all life of everything. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, lives in me. And there's times that he wants me to do stuff. Oh man, not now. What do you mean I gotta go be nice to them? They're not nice to me. Love your enemies. I had a hard time with that one for a long time. And then I figured out why. If I love my enemies, I close their minds. I've done this to you, this to you, this to you, this to you, and I continue, and I enjoy doing it, and I continue doing this to you, and you love me? Danger, 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 Will Robinson. That does not confuse. That does not confuse. I'm trying to make your life miserable and you want to go to have lunch with me. I'm trying to do everything that pisses you off. Pardon my French. And yet you want to be my friend. You guys are weird. That's all I can say. You guys are just weird. A lot of weirdos out there, right? All weirdos raise your hands. Come on, you want to raise your hand? Go ahead and raise your hand. But when I gave up my life willingly, that's the point there, willingly. When I gave up my life and accepted Christ willingly,
yeah.
I didn't realize at the time what I was saying. What I said was, God, if this is you, I believe. He said, it's me. And I'm glad you believe. Whether you believe or not, it's still true.
Yes.
I didn't realize at the time of all the things I was going to get to do. Pastor Gillespie, they know what I'm saying. I didn't know I was going to get to go out and stand on the streets at night and tell people about Jesus. I didn't know that I was going to go to university, walk around with my high school education and with all these academics, tell them about Christ. I didn't know that he would allow me to go to Chile, talk to people there in the language I don't speak. But we did speak the same language. That is the language of God, the language of love.
Amen.
There's an old song that says, smile, the language everybody knows. I've seen you smile and I know what you're feeling. Most people look at me and say, man, why don't you smile and change? And then when I do, they all go, hey, what are you up to? Seriously. My boss is always telling me I need to smile. But this is my smile. So I'm walking up by his office one morning and I'm smiling. I'm happy to smile. He stopped me and said, what are you up to? And I literally, aren't you the one telling me I need to smile all the time? And here I am smiling, you're digging him up or something? And the whole course of the office, all the women say, yes, he's up to something. I wasn't. I was just in a good man. He even kind of freaked me out. But Christ lives in me now. Christ lives in me now. There's a lot of that. Would you take Christ in that bar? Would you take Christ in that movie? That's just nothing but glory. Would you sit there and cut somebody out? Christ in you? The answer to that is yes, because we've done it. You know, they did say Christ is known as friend of sinners. He got invited to all of the parties. The fat Sadducees and Pharisees would come and say, he's a sinner and it's like the rest of them. He's out there hanging out with him. Fire, come on. He's drinking wine and eating. Why these guys only wash their hands for the eat? What kind of person can you be? What kind of God of man can you be? Sick with it right off. Oh, hi, brother.
Touche.
Here we go. We don't want to say it's in. We don't live a continuous lifestyle of sin anymore. It's more intermittent. The longer you walk with Christ, that intermittent gets to be longer and longer gaps. When you first become a Christian, in America, especially in the South, everybody's got an idea of what a Christian's supposed to be. You know? They go out and they make the dough, you know, make a really nice, get out the little cookie cutter Christian. Ain't one of them, you're a Catholic. put them with us. Don't blame them on me. We all have an idea, even before we gave our life to Christ, what a Christian should be. This is America. Most of us are old enough to know that we've heard it all our life. Who Christ is. Not who he was, who he is. And what he did, and what he's doing, and what he will do. But how does he get these things done? How does he get it done?
Us.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Us.
Us. You mean all of us?
Yes.
Every last one of us. All the ones of us who said yes to him, is that the ones you're talking about, that us?
Yes.
Not them, but us.
Those people.
The body of Christ. So you mean if we're the body, therefore he must be the head because he directs us.
Amen.
I believe that's written that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe it's written that way for a reason. Because my thinking ain't so good a lot of times.
I don't ever
listen. I believe it's called stinking thinking. That boy's got some stinking thinking. And he just ain't got it all together. But with him being the head and direct the body. We usually go without her, run around without our heads off, like a little steel thing, like a chicken with his head off. Have you ever seen? And
yes.
Some of y'all have been on the farm.
Right.
And you go around the chicken's neck and you hold the head and the body runs around. Burning blood all over the place. And they can run far, quite a ways. If you really watch them, they can run a long way. Just don't do it around small children because it really freaks them out.
Yes, I know.
It will mess them up for a while. They won't eat chicken, make nugget or anything. But because he's the head, he knows what his body must do. He wants. He has head and tells, I want you to hug that person. They just look like they need a hug. I want you to go over to that person and just sit with them. He ain't going to say a thing. Guarantee that person is going to start talking to you if you sit close to them for a while. Maybe you sit long enough, they'll start telling you what's hurting them. They'll start telling you what's making them mad. And they'll tell you what they want. You don't have to know the Bible inside and out. You don't have to say verse and chapter. I kind of like the way Jesus did it. It's written. My verse and chapter is not so good. But I know it's written. I've read it. I've heard it. I've read it and I've heard it. I've heard it and I've read it. I know it's in there. And I may not say King James style. It may just sound like old Texas redhead.
That's good.
Unless I'm around Yankees, then I'm then that kind of. My accent changes a little bit. Yo, it's like this. Adrian, I gotta tell you.
That's what I'm talking
about. I gotta tell you. He is the Christ. Not you, not me. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you that I'm not the Christ. Could there be a lot of dead people? Don't say dead men walking. Peter 2:24. And bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and to live righteousness.
Amen.
For by his wounds we were healed.
Amen.
Romans 6:1-6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Are those who have died to sin? We are those who died to sin. How can we live it anymore? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And Christ the Word. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. For we have been united with him in death, like his. We will certainly also be united with him in the resurrection.
Amen.
Like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we shall no longer be slaves
to sin.
To sin.
Amen.
Chains are broken. Some of y'all were here that day that I wore all the chains. I do stuff a little different than everybody else. I was kind of glad to get all the chains off that day, too. I had my pockets in them, my neck, I had them all over me. But as I was talking and giving the message, I was dropping the chains. By the time the message was over with, I was quite a bit lighter. Not only because I dropped a chain, but because I really dropped a chain. My name got Marley. Once upon a time it was. Romans 6:8. Now we died with Christ. We believe that we also live with him.
Yes.
You've got more life in you now than you ever had.
Amen.
I don't care how bad your buddy is saying, man, this backache, this toe, this eye, this whatever. I got more life in me now than I'll ever have.
Amen.
Why? Because Christ lives in why? In me. In you. In you. In even Ron. He lives in all of us. And because he lives in all of us, we have more life. But we don't know how to use it. If we allow the life that is given to us to live in us, to really live in us, we could be like John Wayne. Ha, 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 ha. Pain, just get the heck out of me. Don't make me pull my six shooter. Right? That could be John Wayne, but I don't use six shooter. You know I'm at it. I tend to shoot myself in the foot quite a bit with that, too. So. Romans 13:14. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Put Jesus on. He will feed you. He will sustain you. He's already given you more life than you've ever had before. I don't want to worry about gratifying the flesh, although, man, like tomorrow, we can bring it up, gratifying the flesh, the brisket. Being good Southern Baptists, we know how to eat. We know how to gratify both of us. Because we can't go out to the bars and everything else. So we're very happy. But letting Christ live in us cause something. Count the cost of following Christ. Luke 14:28-33. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Wouldn't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you had enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation, I'm not able to finish it. Everyone, and you know it will be everyone, who sees it will ridicule, saying, this person began to build and was unable to finish. Look at that one up there inside. He built himself a big old plate. He did himself a foundation. He did it right. Now he got no money to finish the house. I guess he's just going to sleep in a tent on that foundation, huh? I'll say that. Just move your little U-Haul trailer right there next to it. Just sleep in your little U-Haul. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. When he first sit down, consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against them with 20,000. If he's not able, he would then send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you do not give up everything. Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. That's pretty tough. If I don't give it up, I can't be a disciple. Luke 14:27. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Matthew 10:37. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's hard. That is really hard. Someone's had bad parents, so it's kind of easy. Someone's had bad parents, it's kind of easy not to love them. Someone's had children that no matter what you do, no matter what you do, how much you pray for them, how much you lay hands on them, how many tears you cried. Not that hard to let go. But what if you got a good mom and dad? And you got children that really love you and pay you to do what's right. It's That one's really hard for me. I love my children with everything I've got. I love my grandchildren with everything I've got. But if I have to make a choice, I'm going to choose God. Why? Not because the book says so. Because I know that I've seen. Because I know if I do my part, because Christ lives in me, and I do my part to put it into them, that they will be in heaven. They may go off a while and run butt naked through the bushes. But one day they're going to sit back and think, you know, my dad was right. There's a story about a prodigal. He came to sit in my service, in the service of my dad's house, and treat me better than this. I don't have the right to be a son anymore. I'll go back and ask to be a servant. And the father waited for that boy to come back every day. He waited for that boy to come back every day. And when he saw him afar off, he hiked up his skirt, showed them white legs, and he hauled butt. And he ran down his son and he grabbed him. My son was dead, but he's alive again. Thank you, Jesus. When I count for people, I tell them what their party is going to be. I tell them what my party is. God, number one. Number two, me. Number three, my wife. Number four, my children. Number five, my grandchildren. Number six, my boss. Any number after that changes our world. How can you give up the kids? How can you give up your wife, Christ? Because I know when I gave up myself to let Christ live in me, that I would be a better husband. That I would be a better father. That I would be a better employee. That I'd be a better friend by allowing him in my life to live through me. You guys win! Guarantee you wouldn't like the old book. Some of you are not so hot about the new book. That's all right. You got to love it. It's the book. You don't got to like it, but you got to love it.
Touche, touche.
Luke 9:23. And he said to all them all. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross. Daily. People kind of miss that part. Take up the cross and follow me. That's what I always hear. They always leave out the little word daily. That means, what does daily mean? It means daily. And any language you say it in, you say daily, then you say it.
Every
day. Luke 9:24-25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whosoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose it or forfeit it? The verse. You know, we just got through doing a 1.6 billion dollar jackpot. Money was flying through the cash register so fast they couldn't count it fast enough. One person somewhere in South Carolina won that. Their life is over. Their life's over. Why? Because every family member that's ever been, people will go out and do genome tests and make sure that you've got DNA related to them. Will come out of everywhere. That person has to have guards now with them and his family. Because someone's going to try to get that money. That person's got to go out and hide from lawyers. Your lawyer, I'm sorry, don't mean to diss you, but it's a job. I hope you do it well. That person has no more freedom to walk around the way he did before or she did before. Kind of like being a Christian. Okay. I've got to watch where I'm at now. I've got to watch what I say. And because of Christ's DNA, I'm going to have a lot of loony relatives. That's all right. Because of Christ. We may not all think the same. We may not all act the same. We may not all have the same accent. That's all right. We still have the body of Christ. He must be set apart from the world. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy. Oh, man. Pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What's God's will? His will is that we follow Him. His will is that we love one another as we love ourselves. A lot of times it's a lot easier to love someone else than ourselves because we know who we are. We have to look that person in the mirror. And a lot of us don't like what we see. We get old and then there's something up here. Should have seen all the gray that I shaved off yesterday. Man. I'm getting old. That floor was real cold. My feet hit the floor today. I'm getting old. There was a day that I could do this. Right? The Johnny Atlas thing. Now it's like Grandpa. How about that man one? Thank you, Jesus. But we've changed. When you accepted Christ, you changed. If you didn't change, if you did not change and you did not accept Christ, that's all there is to it. You may have been caught up in the emotions. In a minute, It may make you feel really good. Or you just didn't want to feel left out. Crowd mentality. Everybody else is going up there. If I stay here, everybody will know that I'm not. That means when they all come back, they're all going to jump me. Thank you, everybody. It's all going on with the crowd. Father, that's the whole something to God, Lord. You never know when people don't know the prayer that they're getting involved. Amen. When you accept Christ, you change.
Amen.
Everything in you changes. Cellular level all the way down. The DNA helix, now I've got the third cord that runs in the middle and puts everything together. Three spinal cord, heart break. We change. And the fruits thereof should show it. So you don't have to hear it in our back of one. We change. Not only did we change from death to life, we change from death to life eternal. What's 10,000 years before God? That's just the first breath. You change. And if you did, then your conversion was false. As I said last week, you're no more a Christian than that chair sitting in this church. We got a lot of chairs in here. Are those Christians?
No.
They're chairs. Now, are those sitting in chairs, seat covers? Or are they believers? Like I said, there's people in the seat covers. They're all in a walk. And one thing is, you're the most passion and stuff is when you get up there and say, Father, can I not do this in your name? Can I not do that? And says, go away from me because I know you're not. You knew all the right words to say. You knew how to act in front of certain people. You gave your tithe. You gave offerings. You helped that little lady across the street. You did all these things. But the love was on your heart. I did not live in your heart. I did not live in you. You read it. You listened to the self-help people. You listened to the motivational speakers. You lived a pretty good life. Everybody liked you. You were the life of the party. Then you stand before an awesome Almighty God. When the first thing that happens to you is your knees go out. Because His words is every knee will bow.
Amen.
And every tongue will confess. Then when you try to get back up, He says, I don't even know who you are. What do you mean? Well, I'm a pastor, First Baptist economy occasion, whatever, such and such. I have no idea who you are. I know who you say you think you are. But your heart is cold. Your heart is stone. Your heart was never a heart of flesh. Everything you did was to be a pleaser of man. To please man. Oh, isn't he a good guy? Did you see what he just did? Oh, I tell you what, his wife must be so happy.
to have him as a husband? Then he asked the wife.
We'll just leave it at
now, Pastor. But it's true.
Do I always love God living in me?
Yes.
Do I always act like it?
No.
I can blow off the best of them. I'm being a lot better at controlling it now.
We set apart. We're killing people.
We call a lot of names.
But you know what? That's fine. That's fine. Here's a reminder. Matthew 8:38.
If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God. You were bought with a price. You were bought with a price that is more than any man could ever give.
Matthew 22:37-38. Jesus replied, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Proverbs 3:5-7.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. I could probably go for a third week on my wife. I'm just telling you all this right now. When you accept Christ, you die. If you didn't, then you didn't. If you didn't die to yourself, and you didn't die to the world, you didn't. You didn't accept Christ. If you didn't go out and try to make a change and do it, I've known people who have made the change and lived perfectly afterwards. And then there's people like me. The struggle. Who's gotten bogged down by the weight of the world? Who's walked through the mire? But I still see that cross.
Amen.
I still see where I'm going. I may be down, but I'm not out.
Amen.
I will grab and crawl and grab whatever I got around me to pick myself up. And if that means I got to crawl for it, I'm crawling for it.
Woo! I'm with you, brother.
But I ain't stopped. And neither should you.
Amen.
Neither should you. We're no longer ourselves, but we're His. And I'm pretty comfortable as I look around. I've known a lot of brothers and sisters in my life. I've been They're one of the churches. Come and gone. I'm usually the last one out. But Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Christ lives in y'all. And if he doesn't, he's not in this building. If you've not accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and willing to give it all to him, please, I implore you, don't leave this building. Someone will sit and talk with you. Someone will sit and listen to you. What's heaven going to be like about you? I mean, we're all going to be happy the ones that are there. But we're so I thought for sure that we're having a problem with the gate. It's not all. Father, right now, I just come to you in the name of your son, Yeshua. Father, I lift up the brothers and sisters to you. You know everything they've struggled with and everything they've walked through. You know the pains of the body. You know the hurts that's been spoken to them. You know the firsthand things you've also lived through. Father, right now, I just ask that your spirit come upon each one of them. Right now, that your spirit come upon each one of them. Fill them. Father, just fill them with your spirit. Every last one of them here today, and anybody over here is just a tape. Let them be filled with your spirit right now, Father. Give them strength to carry on. Knowing that they're not the only ones struggling. Father, hold them in your hand and pull them close to your chest. Let them hear your heartbeat. Let them feel the warmth of your love. Let them be the twins. Grace and mercy. Father, these things I pray in your son's name. The congregation said,
Amen. Amen.